The old BCS computer runs on diesel fuel and dreams. We know this because it lives in Bill King's garage.
Bill King Show, brought to you by the palatial, lovely Omni Nashville Hotel.
Our Buckle with us each and every Tuesday. Buck, let's just go out west, UCLA, Utah. I saw you talking about that on Twitter. UCLA unexpectedly undefeated. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, it would be, because I think coming, you know, their early competition, Alabama State, South Alabama was probably the toughest team they played, and they struggled with them. And South Alabama is a sneaky good team, I think, in the Sun Belt. But to see them play as well as they did against Washington last weekend, you know, I had a game the next day, but I stayed up really late to watch it. As well as DTR played, which was, you know, what we have been expecting from him since he got on campus. He's now starting to show it, I think, in year five with Chip. Charbonnet, I think, is the best, worst decision that Jim Harbaugh could have made, the best for UCLA, the worst for Michigan. Offensive line played well. Bobo that transferred out from Duke. But I think the real key to me was the defense. That defense was salty for three quarters. They gave up some points late against Michael Penix. But I think Bill McGovern and Ken Norton Jr. and a host of other guys that they have now really understand how to put those guys in position. And if you're going to beat Utah and Cam Rising, who had a hell of a game against Oregon State, you're going to have to play really solid defense. And I think that's the big thing. Cam Rising for Utah has just really taken that team to another level. I think the country got to see him last year in the Rose Bowl, and then again this year against Florida, even though that was a loss. And they played actually very well since that Florida loss. The problem for them is they haven't run the football effectively. And if UCLA can take the run game away from them and force Cam Rising into throwing the football, I think the defense for UCLA is much better than it has been. And they've got explosive playmakers now, from the tight end position, but also outside. And if they can run the ball, and, you know, DTR just keeps making positive decisions, this is going to be a good ball game. The physicality of Utah is always what wears people down. And I think UCLA now started to say, we have to be as physical, run the football, with DTR on spot occasions, but really Charbonnet has to be the guy to keep this thing going. If he can get 115, 120, 130 yards, and UCLA is probably having a pretty decent day against Utah.
Tells our Buckle with us. Buck, I brought this up a little bit on Monday, some already today. What's wrong with Georgia? Are they bored?
It's been hard to figure that one out, Bill, because, you know, it's almost like they play when they have to over the last few weeks. I think they have to figure some things out, or maybe this is just actually what Georgia is. You know, maybe we got enamored with them blowing out Oregon, and an Oregon team now that's playing better. And then on top of that, all the losses that they had, maybe they were so keen on it in the non-conference schedule, and now people are starting to say, okay, you guys aren't that good, and whatever you're putting on tape, it keeps showing up. So I'll say this about Missouri, too. Eli Drinkwitz and his ball club, you talk about two games you should have won, right? I mean, Georgia finally came back and beat them. But think about what happens, you know, the week before. They just can't find a break. And Georgia is fortunate that they are finding ways to win, even if it's ugly. And I don't think their fans like it. But I think Kirby is able to use that, the proverbial rat poison that he and Nick like to talk about, to effectively say, no, we're not the number two team in the country. And until we start playing consistently, we better figure this thing out.
Yeah, no. And usually you begin a little sluggish and then you build up during the season if you're going to be really good. Georgia started well with all those players on into the NFL, and now they're not playing so well. It's a little bit different. It's got me a little confused.
Me too, Bill. And I think this is an interesting week because Auburn, you know, they're fighting for their lives. Especially Harsin and his staff. I mean, they, you know, you talk about a team that needs a game in the worst kind of way. We'll see on Saturday if that's an upset brewing. I don't think so, but if Georgia plays down to Auburn's level, then anything can happen in that.
Alabama, although that game tightened up in the second half, 28-23, Alabama pulled away one handily, and Milroe was fantastic when he had to come in and play.
Yeah, the highlights that I saw, he really did look good. And, you know, that's the thing with Alabama, right? That's why they recruit all those kids. So when they get an opportunity, how are they going to play? They generally show up. And, you know, I think for them right now, I think the big thing, too, is making sure their run game is effective, because that's the thing that I hadn't seen from Alabama early in the season. That was the part to me that was just not consistent. And I think now they're really starting to figure out how to run the football like an Alabama team can. And no matter who's playing quarterback and however long, you know, you have the injury there, you kind of think, okay, we're going to have to rely on our run game because, you know, they haven't been all that great from the passing team either. It's been spurts. And I think, you know, Gibbs really has shown me something here over the last few weeks. Now, but if Milroe comes in and can keep playing like that, Bill, you know, Bryce doesn't have to rush back as quickly, right? And I think this is the thing with Alabama that Nick has always figured out, hey, how to recruit the best players, how to have guys waiting in the wings, how to have them keep competing. And then when their time comes, they play well. And I think the wide receiver position has been one where early on it hadn't played well. Maybe that's given those guys a chance on the outside to play a lot better than they had in the start of the season. Consistently, I guess I should say.
Joe's our buckle.
We're complaining about Alabama, and they're 5-0.
I know. I tell you, they look good. And then Gibbs, I was talking about this yesterday. Once they had that, there was a 3rd-and-15 situation. Arkansas had cut it to 28-23. 3rd-and-15. Milroe goes for 75 yards, whatever it was, to the 5. But after that moment, including that moment, Buck, I think they had 4 plays in the running game, 70 yards or more, and Gibbs ended up with more than 200 yards. And I know this is blasphemy, but the running game's better with Milroe in the ballgame.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, just from that little bit of sample size we have, they were, right? So yeah. I think if you look at it from that standpoint, Gibbs had 18 carries for 206 yards, right? A 70-yard and a pair of 70-yard runs, right? I think that were just phenomenal. But I think, too, maybe there's a way that you get Milroe involved this year and – Gibbs clearly took the pressure off of him, but the two of them together, it was just something that worked well. And maybe we'll see some of that more, and they'll see it sprinkled into the offense. You know, especially if there's some time. When you have an AC sprain, you can come back from it pretty quick. I don't think Bryce Young will be out a super long time. But what this does is it allows you to see, okay, here's some of the talent that we have. And, you know, this puts us in a position, at least we know what these young guys can do and how they can play. And, you know, you got Texas A&M who hasn't played all that great, but I think that game at Tennessee, this Tennessee ball club, man, they're looking for real, right? And we'll see over this week and then next week how they play, because they've got a tough test, Tennessee does as well.
Got to go down to LSU. It's a noon Eastern game, Buck. Is that an advantage for Tennessee that it's not a Saturday night primetime game?
I think so. I really do, because, you know, when they have a chance to get all lathered up, it's a different atmosphere, even if it's a 3:30 game. I think the one thing, though, that's interesting to me is LSU has not played well at all, right? But they've still found ways to win. And I think that's the part that when you have a young coach, an assistant coach or a coordinator that has never been a head coach, it's hard for him to figure out. A lot of people, myself included, blasted Brian Kelly early on in the season. But I think he's done a pretty nice job of keeping this team focused and prepared and ready to play, you know, through this stretch. And this is going to be a really tough task. But, hey, if they end up winning this game, all that talk about Brian Kelly and some of the things with he and Kayshawn Boutte and all the differences there kind of go away. So I think this is going to be an interesting test, not only for Tennessee and Josh Heupel, because Hooker is playing some phenomenal football right now, but if this LSU defense can stand, can play well, and Jaden Daniels can keep getting better, because I don't think he's real comfortable, and John Emery has been a player that has to make plays for him. I think he struggled a little bit last week. If their offensive line can protect Jaden Daniels and they can get some running game going, I think that helps them, and it has to help them against, you know, a team like Tennessee, because Tennessee is looking to keep this thing going, and this is the first time, what, since I can't remember, 1998, since both these teams are ranked and playing each other. Some ridiculous stat that I saw the other day. But I think this is why, you know, the folks back in the SEC used to love that, you know, like that Tennessee club, because they would come in and play very well on the road or at home when they really had it going. So we'll see how real Tennessee is in this week.
Buck, what are you seeing out of Ohio State? And I'm going to give you another one, Clemson.
What I'm seeing with Clemson is that they become a team that understands whatever they have to do, they're going to do it. I thought for sure they were going to beat North Carolina State, and here's why. I just kept hearing North Carolina State talk about it, but I saw Clemson with the actionables of the Wake Forest game and then DJ playing better. And Will Shipley, who, you know, I've gotten to know because his family's here. You know, I'm close to his dad, and I know his family and watched him play in high school. When he ran those tough, hard yards, and then last week when he got hit and still came back and almost scored that touchdown, that's been the difference. I saw the kid do this thing in high school, and now I'm seeing him take it to that next level. I think the thing with NC State is that they've talked for so long about beating Clemson, but if you got to do it in their home and they've won 36 straight games, that's a tough place to go. And I was just saying, if they can get it done, it would be good. But once I saw the score and saw how that was going, I think Clemson has finally figured out, okay, we're not going to win and we're not going to blow people out, but we're going to have to play tough, hard-nosed football. And they're going to lose some battles. They've got some young guys playing in the secondary. They're going to get that taken advantage of them. But I think the thing that they have learned is, okay, in spite of all that, if the scoreboard says we won at the end of the game, we have won. And I think I like how they're playing, because they're not routing people. They're not blowing people out. They're just having everybody's best shot. And I think that's what you want to have and see how they stand late in the year. And DJ is finally starting to play a lot better. I think on the other hand with Ohio State, you know, Rutgers I thought was a pretty good team. And they took it to that Rutgers ball club, and you have to with Greg Schiano. If he's a coach, you can see all that stuff at the end. But I think Ryan Day has started to figure out how to really manage this team and how to work with this team, and you're starting to see that. That fake punt, I don't know. It didn't, to me, look like it was an actual call. It may have been, but it looked like the punter just saw it and said, okay, I'm going to run. And here's the thing. Greg Schiano and Ryan Day are pretty good friends. Now, Greg Schiano would cuss his mama out. You know, but at the end of the day, they shook hands. Ryan Day went over and apologized. But I think this is about that Ohio State club. They are starting to really figure things out, and that's not a good thing for the Big Ten. Especially Michigan State, who is – I mean, I don't know what's going on with Michigan State this year. They've just not been a good team to watch. Mel Tucker and that staff are struggling right now. And, you know, these are the kind of games where Michigan State makes it ugly and they keep it close and win. But I don't know. They have not played well. They lost to Maryland, who is a lot better team. And Peyton Thorne has just been up and down. He hadn't played real well. So, you know, after playing so well last year, he struggled. And the secondary, that's the thing to me. These coaches like Mel Tucker, who's a great defensive coach and an assistant prior to becoming a head coach, how is your defense not better? How's your pass defense? It's last in FBS. And it was 115. It was last year, and now this year 115. That's not good.
Buck, we don't even have a minute, but Brent down in Georgia, ask Buck about Southern Cal. Seems like Riley is the best coach since Carroll left, he says.
Yeah, he is. I've told people Lincoln Riley is a really good coach. I'm still not a believer in their defense yet. That's going to be the key for them to make it through the whole season. But his offense, they're gonna score a lot of points. They're gonna take advantage of you that way. And Lincoln Riley can X and O with the best of them. If you ever have a chance to sit down with him, you can ask him about a play at when he was with East Carolina as offensive coordinator. He kind of has a photographic memory, and guys that have been around him just marvel at it. And I have had the opportunity when you meet with him, just be amazed at some of the memory recall on things that you watch on film, and he can tell you almost specifics about that. So I think they've got the right person in place. They just got to get better on the offensive line, to me, still, and the defensive unit as a whole. They're playing better, but in order for them to take that next step, they're going to have to really get better there. And this weekend, if you want to see me, I will be doing the Air Force and Utah State game. So we're covering it all, right, Bill? We got the Mountain West covered. We got the SEC covered. We got everything covered, baby.
Buck, safe travels, sir.
Thanks, man. Y'all have a good one.
Charles Arbuckle, every Tuesday.